Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. Streaming Plus License, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless, from the Haven of Hope Church.
Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, Get thee up into this mountain of Arab, unto Mount Nebo, which is at the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession. And die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto his people. Because you trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah Kadesh, and in the wilderness of Zin, because he sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither into the land which I gave the children of Israel. Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me this morning? My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, oh, I feel your spirit begin to move into this place. And God, as the word is opened up, I feel your presence, your unction, your God. And I ask you that you pour out of your unction upon me. Pour out of the Holy Spirit, your God, upon me, that I might experience that divine anointing to bring forth the word today. Help me, your God, to bring it forth in the way you've given it to me. Help me, your God, to bring it forth in a way that would be pleasing and uplifting, your God, to this congregation and would be pleasing in your sight and in your ears, your God, in the throne room of heaven. Bless me, dear God, that I might be your vessel today. And as this word goes forward, it might be a means by which the congregation and all those under the sound of my voice are blessed by it. They will grow by it. They will glean from it. And their souls and spirits shall be nourished by this word in the blessed and holy and righteous name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen. I'm going to be preaching today on all or nothing. Hallelujah. Now, I have preached on all or nothing another time before, but it was a completely different message. I sent a radio show to Sister AZ last night, and the radio show's name was Waves of Glory. She sent it back to me. She said, Pastor, this one was 3 weeks ago. I said, no, it's a different message. This one is plural. It's got waves instead of wave. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of times, saints, when I start out a message and I say, I love you. I'm going to say that today. I love you. And sometimes when I say that, it becomes a little bit of a joke. But I'm not joking. I'm serious I'm going to say some things today that might get right down where you are. I'm going to say some things today that might even make you mad with me. But I'm only going to say what God has given me to say. And I wouldn't say anything in this world on purpose to upset you or to make you angry with me. And if you do get angry with me, Sister Barbara's familiar with this concept. All you got to do is take me out to eat and it'll be all over for you.
That's right.
But we didn't like that. But I say I love you because I might have to say some things that are difficult. I might have to say some things that strike you right in the heart. And I don't want to do that just so I can say, there were some preachers that they'll say, boy, I busted Hyde today, or I'm getting ready to bust Hyde tonight. And I'm thinking, why do you say such a thing? And even if you do have to preach hard, why do you glory in it? Because I don't glory in that kind of thing. I glory in what happens in the altar after. I glory in what God does. Not in me, not in what I've said, not in what I've done, but what God does in the congregation based on what he gives me to preach. Hallelujah. Now, in 2 Timothy 3, it says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for righteousness and instruction. Amen? That means the word of God is given not just to make you happy all the time, but sometimes the word is given so that you can be straightened out if you need to be. Lord, that's getting tough already, ain't it? And I sure don't like it to sound that way, but it's just going to end. There ain't nothing I can do to stop it this week. All right? But I love you. Hebrews 4:12, it says this, and I want you to come up. When I say that I don't like preaching, you're going to understand why in just a minute. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Have you ever seen a movie with battles of with people who are battling with swords, and like maybe knights or crusaders or anybody like that, and they're battling with swords, and if they got a broadsword, a broadsword has got a blade on both sides of the blade. It's sharp on both sides. Do you know why you use a broadsword or a two-edged sword? You use a broadsword so that when you stab going in, you're going up. And you're stabbing from the bottom. And when you get done going in the stab, you pull up when you come out. So that it's also cutting when it comes out. That's what it means when the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts going in. If I'm preaching hard and I'm giving you scripture that's going to cut you going in, guess what? It's cutting me when it's coming out. Sometimes when I'm preaching the gospel and I'm preaching the word, it cuts me just like it does you. Come on, somebody. I might be your pastor. I might be your preacher, but I ain't perfect. And sometimes while I'm preaching this word, it's slapping me all in the face too. And I ain't enjoying it one little bit. But I can't get mad with me. If I did, they might have to lock me up in a funny farm somewhere. It cuts the preacher coming out just like it cuts the congregation going in. I'm preaching some things that's going to be difficult today. We're talking about Moses. Now, this morning, the Sunday school class, it had one theme, but we kind of merged into another one. And the more that we merged into that new theme with the Sunday school class, the more it began to touch on my message today. And I like it when that happens because it lets me know that I'm right in tune with what God is wanting me to say that day. Amen? Moses, we're talking about Moses because Moses was God's man. Moses was born in a time when Pharaoh was afraid that he had all the children of a certain age killed because God had said, and the prophecies from the children of Israel had said, that there was a new leader rising up that would deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. And he said, well, I ain't letting that happen. I'm going to kill all them babies so that there ain't going to be no deliverer sent. But God had warned Moses' mother and his sister, and they put him in a basket and sent him down the river, and the river took him to the palace where Pharaoh's daughter found him. And Pharaoh's daughter wanted a child so bad, and she took him.
He was God's man. God protected him. God made sure that he didn't get killed with the rest of them, because he was the chosen deliverer. As Moses grew up, he became wise. He became literal. He became intelligent. God raised him up to be a mighty man in Egypt. And then God delivered him out of Egypt and brought him into the wilderness, where God showed himself to him, because Moses didn't know anything about the Hebrew God. Then God showed himself to him and turned Moses into one of the most significant, if not the most significant, the most powerful prophet that the Word of God has to offer. He was God's man. He delivered the children of Israel. It was by Moses' hand and his word that God parted the Red Sea. It was by Moses' hand and his word that the pillar of fire came down and the pillar of cloud came down. It was by Moses' word that they crossed over on dry land. It was by Moses' word that they came to the promised land. But you know what happens when somebody becomes really anointed and they become really, really powerful with God? This is what happened with Moses. He became cocky. He became, "I'm Moses, and I can do what I want to do because I'm God's man." Come on, somebody. "And I'm serving God. I go to church every Sunday." Well, every other Sunday. Or I go at least once a month. "Yeah. But I'm serving God. I know the Word of God. I can do about what I want to because I know the Word of God." Was Moses was, y'all know I won't talk about Moses then, right? Y'all get that? But Moses came to a point where God had told him, God sent him to a place, because the children of Israel were thirsting to death. They were perishing. They needed water. And God said, "I want to show them a miracle. So you go to this rock that's at this mountain, and when you gather the children of Israel in front of you," I'm talking about water, here we go. He said, "When you gather the children of Israel in front of you, in front of that rock," he said, "I want you to speak to that rock, and I will cause rivers of water to come out of it." And that wasn't just no ordinary rock. You look up that scripture in the Bible, and the word rock is capitalized. You want to know why? Because it represents Jesus. Rock, that Christ is the rock. Now, that rock, when Moses didn't go up there and speak to it, he got mad at the congregation. He got mad at the children of Israel, and he talked hard to them. And then he turned to that rock and he hit it instead of speaking to it. Nothing happened. So he hit it again harder, and then the rock started gushing forth water. When that water came out, that was enough water to feed 3 million Israelites and all their cattle and livestock. And when they moved, that rock followed them wherever they went. It's in the Word of God, folks. It's right there. But see, Moses didn't do what God told him to do, did he? Moses went to the rock like God told him to, and Moses did something that caused God to pour water out of that rock. But God said, in God's eyes, and in a lot of the children of Israel's eyes, when Moses hit that rock, he caused it to split open. Instead of him speaking to it, which would have proven that God did it. And he didn't, and God was not pleased. If God tells you to follow the Word of God, then by all that's holy, you need to follow what thus saith the Lord and not try to do it your own way. "Well, I can find scripture that says I can do it like this if I read it a certain way." I call those people scriptural attorneys. Because they're finding loopholes in the Word that can let them do whatever they want to do. Let me tell you, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God at all. You can convince yourself that you can do it your way, but you know what happened when Moses did it his way? God told Moses, he said, "Go ahead and lead them children of Israel, lead them right up to the promised land, and stand there and look at it, because you ain't going. I want you to go up to the land that floweth with milk and honey, the promised land, the land that I have promised the children of Israel, that I had promised you. But because you disobeyed me, you ain't going in. You get to look at it." Oh, wait a minute now. If I had been Moses with the kind of temperament that Moses had, I wonder if Moses got mad at God. Or did he figure out I was the one that got stupid? Now, Moses got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to go in. God has given us the word. And in this word, he has given us a way to live. In this word, he has told us what to do and how to get to heaven. He's told us what doctrines to follow. He's told us what's through the scripture. Every word is productive. Every word is profitable for a number of different things according to the text this morning. But sometimes people decide that they're going to take the word of God and twist it around so that they could do whatever it is they want to do and feel good about it. What are you going to do when you can walk up to the promised land and God says, you can see it, but you ain't going anywhere? Just because, well, wait a minute, God, I did what you told me. Did you really? Or did you do what you wanted to and called it what I told you? I told you it's going to get hard. Did you do it the way God said? Because if you don't, he ain't happy. If you're not obeying the Lord, because you know what disobedience to the Lord is? Do you know what the very definition of sin is? The very definition of sin is disobedience to God. Amen. If you don't obey God, there's no getting in. If you don't obey God, if you're not following him, if you do it your way instead of his way, there's every distinct possibility that you'll get to watch the rapture happen, but you won't get to participate. What's it going to feel like when you're standing there and all of a sudden the earthquake happens and the graves open up and they explode away like lightning to the clouds? And then you look around in an instant later and all those who believe in God, they take off too, and you still got your feet on the ground. If you find yourself in that situation, the old TV show used to say, you're in a heap of trouble, boy. And there ain't no heap bigger than that heap of trouble. Amen. You need to make sure that what you're doing, if God tells you to do it, you need to do it by what thus saith the Lord and not try to figure out your own way. Amen. That's why the Lord has been chastising me over and over about the way I was preaching and the way I was preparing my messages, because I wasn't doing it the way he wanted me to. And he finally had to get hard with me to get me to do it the way he wanted. And you know, now that I am, again, doing it the way that is, the blessing is just so much greater. The power of God is just so much stronger. I feel his anointing. I feel his divine presence so much better. And I know the word is getting out so much stronger. Hallelujah. What are you going to do if you get to see the rapture, but you don't get to go in? You know, my Bible tells me in Luke 13:28, Jesus is saying, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Won't that be a terrible thing to experience? I know it would be for me. Saints, I live every day trying to make sure that even the littlest things that I do glorify God. And I do what he wants me to do. And if I go through a day and I feel like I have done something that is not pleasing to him, you know what the first thing is I do? I go to him and I ask forgiveness. And I say, Lord, help me not to do that again. Help me do it the way I'm supposed to. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Help me, Lord. There's a story. It's called The Duck and the Devil. There's a little boy back in the day, and him and his sister went to go stay with his grandma and grandpa for a few weeks. And while they were there, his grandpa gave him a slingshot. He probably no more than 7 or 8 years old. And his little sister was probably about 6 or 7. And he went out into the woods one day with that slingshot, and he practiced and he practiced and he practiced. And he couldn't seem to hit nothing like he wanted to. Couldn't hit nothing. Then his grandma rung the dinner bell, the lunch bell. And he turned around and started heading back. And when he got about halfway back on this big old farm he was on, out of the edge of the farm was grandma's prized duck. And just on a whim, out of, you know, he'd missed everything he shot at. On a whim, he just fired up and shot at that duck. And he beamed him right in the head and killed him. He was terrified. Oh no, I've killed grandma's duck. He went and grabbed that duck and buried him in the wood pile. And he started making his way to the house. But what he didn't see was his little sister had watched him do the whole thing. And he was, what would that do for you? I don't know what it would do for you, but for me, if I had done that and my little sister Donna had been watching, I'd have said, I'm fitting to tote one. I'm fitting to tote me a beating. And the little boy Johnny and Sally, they got up to the house and they went to lunch. And when they got done with lunch, Grandpa says, well, let's go fishing, me and the kids. And Grandma spoke up and said, well, Johnny could go, but Sally has promised me she's going to stay here and help me clean up and wash the dishes. And Sally spoke up. She said, Grandma, you know, Johnny told me that he wanted to stay and help you wash the dishes. And she looked at him and she said, duck. And so he stayed and washed the dishes, and the little girl went fishing. Later on in the evening, they got through with supper. And Grandpa said, let's go get some ice cream. Me and I'm going to take the kids, and we're going to get some ice cream. And Grandma spoke up and said, well, Sally says she's going to stay here and help me clear the table and help me do some chores. And Sally said, I would, Grandma, but you know what Johnny said? Johnny said he's going to stay here and do it for me. He wanted to do it instead. And so it went on about 3 or 4 days. About 3 or 4 days later, Johnny got tired of doing Sally's chores. And he went to Grandma and he said, Grandma, I got something to tell you. I'm ashamed of it, but I did it. I killed your duck with my slingshot. And I'm so sorry. I didn't think I was going to hit it, but I beamed it right in the head and it's dead. And I'm so sorry. He said, and Sally's been making me do her chores all week because she saw it. And the grandma grabbed him and hugged him. She said, son, I love you and I forgive you. She said, I watched you shoot the duck from the window. And I knew you had killed it, and I knew what Sally was doing. She said, but I was just wondering how long you was going to let Sally make a slave out of you for your sin. And she said, you know, the devil will make a slave out of you for your sin as well. And saints of God, that's the truth. If you're holding on to your sin, or you're hiding that sin, or you're holding back, or you've become a scriptural attorney and you've turned the scripture around such that you can make the scripture say anything you want it to. You can. But you've turned the scripture around such that you can get away whatever you want to and feel great about it. But you ain't fooling God. You can say, well, God didn't say that all you want to, but it's right there. Well, God didn't mean that. Every other Bible scholar says he did. Them that have learned. Now, what I love this. I've been studying the word for 39 years. And I love it when a 16 or 17-year-old kid comes up and tells me what the Bible says and what it means. And telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. I love that. Because let me tell you something. When I first got saved, I tried my best to make the Bible do what I wanted it to do. I tried my best to take the scripture and twist it around so that I could get away with what I wanted to get away with. And do you know what the Spirit of the Lord kept doing? He kept putting my heart in his hand and squeezing. He said, nope, you're not going to do that. Nope, you can't do that. Nope, I'm not letting you get away with that. That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction about trying to twist the scriptures around to suit yourself. And you can try that all you want to. But if you do, and you feel like you're getting away with it, it's entirely strongly possible that you're going to watch the rapture and not go in it. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I praise you. I lift up your name. I magnify you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Now, because of Moses' mistakes, because of his sin, he was only allowed to see the promised land. And he died before he could set foot in it. Now, that would be God saying you're not entering into the promised land. But I want you to fast forward to the New Testament. So the next time we see Moses in the Bible is on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's standing there with Elijah and Jesus, speaking to them, speaking to him, the Lord. Do you know where that mountain was? It's believed to be Mount Tabor in Israel, part of the promised land. Are you getting what I'm saying? That God told Moses he was going to see it. He just made him wait nearly 3,000 years to get in there. But Moses did enter the promised land, even if it was only for just a few minutes. But where he was then was far greater than Israel. He was in the presence of the Father. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I've seen some things today that are harsh, that are hard. I've seen some things today that some people would get upset about. But I said it because the Lord prompted me to. I said it because He loves you. I said it because He did all of the things that He did. The entire Bible is set into place for one purpose. And do you want to know what that one purpose is? To draw you unto heaven. To get you into the great place of glory, into the temple in heaven, into the throne room with Him forever. Because God created you to have fellowship with Him. God created you so that He could have someone right there present with Him to love Him because they wanted to. But let me ask you, are you loving Him if you're disobedient to Him? Are you loving Him if you do it your way instead of His? Boy, my daddy, he didn't say things like that. He didn't like that. If I didn't do it His way, I got in trouble. And I'm sure most of you had the same thing going on. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me today? Still, eyes closed and heads bowed, if you don't mind.
Friends, we always like to end our service, each service, with this sinner's prayer. And if you would repeat after me, we use the right hand and use each finger on the right hand to signify and to pray with each of these parts of this prayer. If you'll repeat after me, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know You're the Son of God. I know You died on the cross for my sin, and You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for making me a Christian. In Jesus' name.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.